भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 This is entitled the Hansaguya Prayers offered to the Lord by Prajapati Daksha. I'll read the chapter summary and then we can do the first few verses. After Maharaj Parikshit appealed to Shukadev Goswami to describe in further detail the creation of the living entities within this universe, Shukadev Goswami informed him that when the Prachetas, the 10 sons of Prachina Burhi, entered the sea to execute austerities, the planet Earth was neglected because of the absence of a king. Naturally, many weeds and unnecessary trees grew, and no food grains were produced. Indeed, all the land became like a forest. When the 10 Prachetas came out of the sea and saw the entire world full of trees, they were very angry with the trees and decided to destroy them all to rectify the situation. Thus, the Prachetas created wind and fire to burn the trees to ashes. Soma, however, the king of the moon and the king of all vegetation, forbade the Prachetas to destroy the trees, since the trees are the source of fruit and flowers for all living beings. Just to satisfy the Prachetas, Soma gave them a beautiful girl born of Pramlocha Apsara. By the semen of all the Prachetas, Daksha was born of that girl. In the beginning, Daksha created all the demigods, demons, and human beings. But when he found the population not increasing properly, he took sannyas and went to the Vindhya mountain, where he underwent severe austerities and offered Lord Vishnu a particular prayer known as Hansaguhya, by which Lord Vishnu became very pleased with him. The contents of the prayer were as follows. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul Lord Hari, is the controller of both living entities and the material nature. He is self-sufficient and self-effulgent. As the subject matter of perception is not the cause of our perceiving senses, so the living entity, although within his body, does not cause his eternal friend, the Super Soul, who is the cause of creation of all the senses. Because of the living entity's ignorance, his senses are engaged with material objects. Since the living entity is alive, he can understand the creation of this material world to some extent, but he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the conception of the body, mind, and intelligence. Nevertheless, great sages who are always in meditation can see the personal form of the Lord within their hearts. Since an ordinary living being is materially contaminated, his words and intelligence are also material. Therefore, he cannot ascertain the supreme personality of Godhead by manipulating his material senses. The conception of God derived through the material senses is inaccurate, because the Supreme Lord is beyond the material senses. But when one engages his senses in devotional service, the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed on the platform of the soul. When that Supreme Godhead becomes the aim of one's life, one is said to have attained spiritual knowledge. The Supreme Brahman is the cause of all causes because he originally existed before the creation. He is the original cause of everything, both material and spiritual. And his existence is independent. However, the Lord has a potency called avidya, the illusory energy, which induces the false arguer to think himself perfect, and which induces the illusory energy to bewilder the conditioned soul. That Supreme Brahman, the Supersoul, is very affectionate to his devotees. To bestow mercy upon them, he discloses his form, name, attributes, and qualities to be worshipped within this material world. Unfortunately, however, those who are materially absorbed worship various demigods. As the air passes over a lotus flower and carries the scent of the flower with it, or as the air sometimes carries dust and therefore assumes colors, the Supreme Personality of God, it appears as the various demigods according to the desires of his various foolish worshippers. But actually, he is the Supreme Truth, Lord Vishnu. To fulfill the desires of his devotees, he appears in various incarnations, and therefore there is no need to worship the demigods. Being very satisfied by the prayers of Daksha, Lord Vishnu appeared before Daksha with 8 arms. The Lord was dressed in yellow garments and had a blackish complexion. Understanding that Daksha was very eager to follow the path of enjoyment, the Lord awarded him the potency to enjoy, the illusory energy. The Lord offered him the daughter of Panchajana named Asikni, who was suitable for Maharaj Daksha to enjoy in sex. Indeed, Daksha received his name because he was very expert in sex life. After awarding this benediction, Lord Vishnu disappeared. So we'll read texts 1 and 2, 3, maybe 4 as well. Which one is printed on the board? Okay, that's text 1. Shri Raja Vacha Devasura Naram Sargo Naganam Mrigapakshinam Sama Sikastvaya Prokto Yastu Swayam Bhuvayantare. You only have text 1, right? Okay. Devasuranam sarago Naganam mrigapakshinam Samasikastvaya prokto Yastu svayam bhuvayantare. Devasuranam sarago Naganam mrigapakshinam Samasikastvaya prokto Yastu svayam bhuvayantare. Shri Rajo Vacha Devasuranam sargo Naganam mrigapakshinam Sama sikastvaya prokto yastu swayam bhuvayantare Shri Rajovacha Devasuranam sarago Naganam rikapakshinam Sama sikastvaya prokto yastu swayam bhuvayantare Shri Rajovacha Devasuranam sarago Ladies. Shri Rajovacha Devasuranam Sarago Naganam Mrigapakshinam Samasikastvaya Prokto Yastu Swayam Bhuvayantare Shri Raja Uvacha, the king said, Deva Asura Nranam, of the demigods, the demons, and the human beings. Sargaha, the creation. Naganam, of the nagas, serpentine living entities. Mrigapakshinam, of the beasts and birds. Samasikaha, briefly. Tvaya, by you. Proktaha, described. Yaha, which. The, however. Swayambhuve, of Swayambhuvamano. Antare, within the period. Now, I'm going to read the next verse and its synonyms as well. Tasyaiva vyasam icchami gyatam te bhagavanyatha anusaragamyaya shaktya sasaraja bhagavan paraha. Tasya means of this. Eva, indeed. Vyasam, the detailed account. Icchami, I wish. Gyatam, to know. Te, from you. Bhagavan, O my Lord. Yatha, as well as, anusaragam, the subsequent creation, yaya, by which, shaktya, potency, sasaraja, created, bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, paraha, transcendental. A translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Blessed King said to Shukdev Goswami, my dear Lord, the demigods, demons, human beings, nagas, beasts, and birds were created during the reign of Swayambhuvamano. You have spoken about this creation briefly in the third canto. Now I wish to know about it elaborately. I also wish to know about the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by which he brought about the secondary creation. There is no purport, so I'll continue to text 3. Shri Suta Uvacha Iti Sam Prashnam Akarnya Rajar Sher Badarayanihi Pratinandya Mahayogi Jagada Muni Sattamaha. Suta Goswami said, O great sages assembled at Naimisharanya, after the great yogi Shukdev Goswami heard King Parikshit's inquiry, he praised it and thus replied. Text 4. Now again, there's no purport. Sri Shuka Uvacha Yada Prachetasaha Putra Dasha Prachina Barahishaha Antasamudra Runmagna Dadrishurat Gam Dramayaravratam. Shukdev Goswami said, when the 10 sons of Prachina Barahi emerged from the waters in which they were performing austerities, they saw that the entire surface of the world was covered by trees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When King Prachina Barahi was performing Vedic rituals in which the killing of animals was recommended, Narad Muni, out of compassion, advised him to stop. Prachina Barahi understood Narad properly and then left the kingdom to perform austerities in the forest. His 10 sons, however, were performing austerities within the water, and therefore there was no king to see to the management of the world. When the 10 sons, the Prachetas, came out of the water, they saw that the earth was overrun with trees. When the government neglects agriculture, which is necessary for the production of food, the land becomes covered with unnecessary trees. Of course, many trees are useful because they produce fruits and flowers, but many other trees are unnecessary. They could be used as fuel, and the land cleared for and used for agriculture. When the government is negligent, less grain is produced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 1844, Krishi, Goraksya, Vanajyam, Vaishya Karnama Swabhavajam. The proper engagements for Vaishyas, according to their nature, are to farm and to protect cows. It's interesting, just to insert here, Prabhupada doesn't translate the third term that Krishna lists there, which is what? Krishni means farming, Goraksha means cow protection, and what's the third one? Vanajyam means? Business. Prabhupada, he skips that, because Americans don't need to be told that business is important. The duty of the government and the kshatriyas is to see that the members of the third class, the Vaishyas, who are neither Brahmanas nor Kshatriyas, are thus properly engaged. Just as the sages at Naimisharanya didn't need to be told not to eat meat or gamble or take intoxication or indulge in illicit sex, similarly Americans don't need to be told that business is important. It's already inbuilt. We'll get to that in a moment. It's called uti. karma vasana, the nature that impels a particular birth in this world. So, kshatriyas are meant to protect human beings, whereas vaishyas are meant to protect useful animals, especially cows. Om Jnanatimarantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there's a lot to be discussed here, particularly because Prabhupada went through the whole, summarized the whole chapter at the beginning here. But we'll try to stick to what's being mentioned in these few verses. First of all, Devasura Nranam Sarago. Devas and the Asuras, they are the two classes of living beings that you find even in human society. Therefore, they are compounded here. Devasura Nranam. Human beings of both types. Also, you can say that these are three categories, because in the heavenly worlds, the devas predominate, and in the hellish worlds, the asuras predominate, and the middle earth, you might say, is the human beings, Nranam. So Sarga. Sarga means the creation. We know from the second canto, chapter 10, that there are 10 topics that are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, but in most of the major Puranas in general as well. Sometimes this is categorized as 5 instead. In other minor Puranas, they have 5 topics. Major Puranas, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have 10 topics. And partly for that reason, Shukdev Goswami is talking about each of these 10 topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam, even though his chief concern is Ashraya, Lord Krishna. So what are those topics? Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayaha manvantare shanukatha nirodho muktir ashrayaha. Sarga means the primary creation, the creation of the Mahatattva by Lord Vishnu. From he takes this pradham. Pradhan means the dormant material energy. It's like a lump of clay. And he separates all of the constituent elements and crystallizes things into the basic stuff of which this material world is created. That's called sarga, the primary creation. Once that is done, it's just like if you take some clay. There's earth in there, there is some ether in there, there is some air also, there is some water, fire, if it's hot clay. And so you can, hypothetically, you can separate all those elements. That's what's being done in the primary creation, which is called sarga. And then comes visarga, which is the, here it's called anusarga in text 2, which you don't have on the board. But it means the same thing as visarga. Secondary creation, that's done by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma finds himself, as you know, atop the lotus that sprang from the lotus navel of the Lord, who is called Padmanabha. And Brahma figured out that he had to create this material world, but he wasn't so sure how to do that. Acharyas, they're referring back to the third canto, mentioning here, samasikas tvaya prokto, what you had briefly mentioned before. That means back in the third canto, and if you're listening carefully, you notice that Srila Prabhupada incorporated that observation of the acharyas into his own translation, as he often does, even though it's not explicit here in the verse. So back in the third canto, generally deals with the sarga. Fourth canto deals with the visarga, the secondary creation. So, but they kind of are throughout the Bhagavatam as well. All these 10 topics that you can say, you can point out to a particular canto and say that One of them dominates in a certain area, but actually all of them are interrelated, and therefore all of them are found throughout the Bhagavatam. Anyway, so back in the third canto, he had briefly mentioned this process of visarga, the secondary creation, because here the word sarga is used, but it doesn't mean the primary creation. It means the secondary creation. As I mentioned, that's clarified in the next verse with the word anusarga, which means the same thing as visarga. So once you have all the elements in place, then you've got all these living entities who have also been injected into material nature by the glands of Mahavishnu, right? And through the false ego principle mixed with the modes of material nature, this Mahatattva comes into existence. Now you've got all these living entities who are very eager to exploit the resources that are just waiting. It's kind of like you have these shopping days and people line up at the store at 6 o'clock in the morning, and some of them get stampeded when the doors open. They're so eager to get a good deal. This is America. No need to encourage Americans in business. It is notorious worldwide nowadays for its rampant capitalism, so there's not really any need for that, but we can relate with this particular example. So similarly, when the material creation is just fresh and begun, all these living entities are lined up, having been injected by Mahavishnu, and they're all very fired up about Maya and eager to have at it and to fulfill their material desires. So much so that if you review that section of the Bhagavatam where Lord Brahma is creating the various bodies in a very methodical method, in a very calculated, careful way, they're just jumping at the chance. Anything he casts off from his own self, which was all that existed really at that point, it's immediately accepted as a body by somebody eager to enjoy in any way that they can. It's kind of like people, they try to break into the United States of America any way that they can. And they don't care if they're illegal or if they're legal. They just don't care because they know that once you get your foot in the door of this country, then Prabhupada said, money is flying through the air, you just have to catch it. So, something like that. All these living entities are very eager for their bodies. What was it? Even his shadow was accepted as a, twilight was accepted as a material body by someone, and all these things. We could say many things about this, but enough said. So this is called visarga, the creation of these secondary creation of all the bodies to inhabit the living entities and to facilitate their material desires. Now, you have to have a place for that to happen as well. Therefore, the next item in the list is sthanam. As we know, this 14 worlds are existing, various planetary systems, and that's discussed chiefly in the fifth canto. Both the emphasis is given, of course, at the end on the hellish planets, but also there are heavenly worlds and there are middle worlds as well, Martyaloka, human worlds. That's where we live. So the places and the bodies to facilitate the innumerable and intense desires of all living entities, those are affected through these processes, these interrelated processes of sarga, visarga, and sthanam. So the word here is used sarga, which means the secondary creation. And some of the living entities, just to make that clear, are mentioned. Nagas, we heard about those in the last canto, in the sthanas where they live. What sthanas are inhabited by the Nagas? Subterranean planets. Down to even Anantadev himself is manifest there in the base of the universe. So the Nagas, the Mrigas means the animals, Pakshis means those who are flying. Pakshi means a side or a wing. They have sides for their wings. So the animals, all of them. Samasikas tvaya prokto, it has been briefly mentioned by you, yastu svayambhuvayantare, during the period that is ruled by Svayambhuvamanu. So that wasn't really very much elaborated on, back then, and so he's going to talk about it a little bit now. And commentators, they explain that, particularly with regards to Daksha and his descendants. So, tasyaiva vyasam itchami. Now, the word is vyas here is used in text 2. His vyas, I want the vyas of that, I want to hear about it. So generally, what does vyasa mean? This is a trick question. Vyasadeva, we naturally think. This is something I always like to point out. In Sanskrit, the easy words that we all know, they're actually the hardest words. Because every once in a while, they throw you a loop. So that's the case here. Vyasa in this case has to be taken literally. Vyasa, something that is arranged, or something that is elaborated, something that is described in more detail, or as Prabhupada gives it here, he just translates it, the detailed account. So there's the samasika, the summary account, and he wants to know what is the detailed account of all that. Tasya. Gyatumte, I want to know that, Bhagavan yatha. And the word here is also used, Bhagavan. He's calling Shukdev Goswami, my dear Lord. Sometimes these great souls are called Bhagavan. So yatha anusargam yaya shaktyasa sarja. Bhagavan paraha. The transcendental personality of Godhead, by what potency did he actually affect all this? He wants to know. So that's the first couple of verses. Before we go on, I just can't resist the opportunity to point out here, the Lord's Shakti comes into prominence, as is always the case. We never like to see Krishna alone. We don't like to worship Krishna alone. We don't recognize him as being alone. His Shakti is always prominent in all circumstances, even in this material creation. Who clarifies that for us? Madhvacharya. He wrote a famous work called Dwadasha Stotras, 12 works actually, 12 hymns of praise of the Lord that he worshipped in Udupi, Krishna. And there he says, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sarga Maha Vibhute Vritti Prakasha Niyamavriti Bandha Mokshaha Yasya Apangalava Matrata Urjita Sa Shrir Yatkartaksha Balavati Ajitam Namami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that unconquerable Lord, whose consort Shri, by her mere glance, has empowered this entire cosmic manifestation with all of these wonders, all these things. And then he mentions them. What are they? Srishti, that means the creation, as we've been discussing here. She affects it, her glance, in the form of Mahamaya. Mahamaya, of course, is the material counterpart of Shri, her partial representation. So by her glance, she affects the srishti. Stiti means the maintenance. That's another thing. The next thing is in the list of the topics of the Bhagavatam that we didn't get to yet. We talked about sarga, visarga, sthanam. What's the next one? Poshanam. And poshanam means? Huh? Protection, it means nourishment, literally. Both material protection and spiritual protection. Both of them are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This sixth canto in particular is dealing especially with poshanam, and the example of Ajamila is given. We also have the example of Indra later on, and Daksha as well. Many examples of how the Lord protects those of us, even those of us who have fallen into this material existence, impelled by strong desires to exploit His resources. Even those of us in this infected condition, He's very kind and He maintains us. Prabhupada always used to point out, the source of your paycheck is not the source of your maintenance. You just have to go to Afghanistan to realize that. Many people, I mean, they don't even bother giving a paycheck, I would think, because they know it's not worth anything. You see? So the real thing is coming from above. That's called poshanam. And even, of course, in the spiritual sense as well, we have this idea. Poshanam, therefore, also means grace. One Vaishnavacharya has called this process, according to Rupa Goswami, Pushti Marga. Especially Raganuga Bhakti is more or less equated with the Pushti Marga in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. Pushti Marga means the path of nourishment or the path of grace, the path of divine grace. Because everything has to happen in bhakti by descending grace, through the Lord's devotees chiefly. So even in this material world, that grace is given to us. And Shri is by her glance, indirectly through the glance of the material energy, it is affecting this material cosmic manifestation's creation, the maintenance, and the srishti sthiti pralaya, the destruction as well. All things are here. Just like when Brahma was creating, back to the Visarga process, he was creating so many good things, he was also creating some pretty ugly things, if you recall. It caused him some problems. So all things are there. Srishti sthiti pralaya, sarga, that is explicit there. Mahavibhuti, the great wonders of this material cosmic manifestation. So many great wonders we find. Krishna says, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimat urjitam eva va, ityadi. Means, whatever you see that is wonderful, glorious, or mighty in this world, understand that it's just a little bit of my potency. Mahavibhuti, srishti, sthiti, prada, sarga, mahavibhuti, vritti, and all the occupations of the living entities. That's what we're discussing now, and especially with regards to the manus. Swayambhuva is one of the manus. In one day of Brahma, there are how many manus? 14 manus. That's like 72 times of 4 million some odd years, the combined period. So there are different manus. We are now in the period of which manu? Not Swayambhuva manu. We are in the Vaivasvata manu. We don't think about this very much, do we? It's not relevant to us. You know why? Because we're out of touch. We think we're living in the real world, and Bhagavatam is mythology. In fact, the Bhagavatam is the real world, and the world we live in is mythology. That is a fact. Sometimes when we insult someone, you say that he's living in his own world. Well, actually, we are afraid to tell you, sir, that every one of us is living in our own world. It's custom tailored by Maya through processes beyond our comprehension just to make us think that we're what we want so badly to be. We're all, it's a kind of idealism, you can say. Idealism in the philosophical sense of that term. Means there is none of us, put it this way, none of us really has a handle on what's reality in this material world. None of us. We heard that a few, just in the last chapter, isn't it? Even these great rishis like Jaimini Rishi and others, the persons who are prescribing Dharma Shastras, they don't understand the real deal. They cannot understand Bhagavata Dharma. So vritti means manus and all these others. We're in Vaivasvata's manus period now. The previous was Swayambhuva manu, about whom we want to hear, or about whom Parikshit Maharaj wants to hear in this verse. They have the responsibility of taking all these aggressively materialistic living beings who are just eager to inhabit all these bodies that Brahma cannot create fast enough, and they have to somehow or other regulate, civilize, and tame them. This is what Manu's program is. And he does that through Manu and all the other Manus as well. Swayambhuva as well as all the other Manus. They all do this. They prescribe certain Dharma Shastras to regulate the activities of the living beings so that they can perform their ugly materialistic activities in such a way that it doesn't hurt them too much or doesn't hurt others unduly. It's always violent. Any indulgence in the material energy is going to hurt us always. It's an absolute axiom. And it's also, therefore, going to hurt others. But the way in which you can carry out this illusory God project with minimal collateral damage is to follow the Dharma Smritis. I was reading yesterday, there was an article on dandavats.com that now they're in Mayapur, they're planning to create a constitution for ISKCON, or at least they're talking about it. That function is already there. It exists in the form of the Dharma Shastras that we are not even really aware of, because we cannot prioritize research and translation of these projects enough to be aware of them. Many years ago, there was a BBT meeting. They were talking about footnoting Srila Prabhupada's books to make them more user-friendly for people who get gaga about certain concepts that they read in Srila Prabhupada's books. And the point was also raised at that time that instead of footnoting the books, this function has actually been served traditionally by writing your own commentary. And people either accept your commentary or they don't. Just like when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't necessarily go and hear what Vallabhacharya has to say about everything, for example. We have our own acharyas. We follow them. You see? Anyway, I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but the point is that Manu has, he is in charge. He's currently in his post and he's working responsibly, but we're out of touch. We could consult him or his representatives if we had that ability. So the real thing is to focus on our own lack and why we feel a need to do something else. Anyway, this is vritti. Vritti means the engagements. All these engagements have been affected by the powerful glance of Sri, the goddess of fortune. Prakasha, light, in the literal as well as the figurative sense. That has also been created by the glance of Sri. Vritti, prakasha. Niyama, the rules and regulations, they're coming through her agency. Bandha, bondage. Moksha, liberation. All these things are affected by that powerful glance, urjita. Urjita means powerful. Not even a direct glance, just a sidelong glance, or you can say an indirect glance, maybe is another way to put it. Kataksha. Shri Yat Kataksha Balavati Ajitam Namami. This is the opinion of Madhvacharya. So, these are some things we can think about here. Now, it's getting late, but I should at least mention text 4 because that was the purport. Shukdev Goswami said, when the 10 sons of Prachinabarhi emerged from the waters in which they were performing austerities, they saw that the entire surface of the world was covered by trees. So he's starting a new topic now. And this is going to introduce the Hamsaguya prayers. But Prabhupada in his purport mentions, of course, the history was summarized there. Prabhupada mentions that agriculture is the responsibility of the government. And in those days, when you had no government, you had no agriculture, what happened? Prabhupada said trees would spring up. And not just useful trees, but even useless trees. That means useless to us. Useful for some other species, but useless to the human beings. Nowadays we have the opposite problem, isn't it? Now, what do we have worldwide now? Instead of too many trees, what do we have? Too few trees. Desertification and clearing of the rainforests. One of them is happening as a reaction for the other, most likely. And sometimes they say, directly caused by clearing of the rainforest. It causes all sorts of ecological ramifications and repercussions that introduce problems for us. And when the environment is disturbed, then you have to start killing animals to eat. And eventually, there was a news article someone sent me. They're saying that now the prisons are overfilled with mental patients because some 30 years ago or so, 40 years ago, they decided that it's too cruel the way we're treating all these people in asylums, what they used to call asylums. So let them all go. When they go, unsupervised, uncared for, lack of poshanam, you might say, then they commit petty crimes like trespassing and, you know, indecent exposure and things like that. But they end up in prison. And in prison, they are completely neglected. Sometimes, because they're crazy, they attack the guards, and the guards have to strap them into a chair for weeks on end. So the state is responsible when we have a chaotic condition in society. And this chaotic condition is created by internal chaos. That's the thing. People don't like to recognize that the problem is actually, a lot of it is coming from inside. Of course, psychologists will always argue, well, how much is nurture, how much is nature? It's both, in fact. But we're bringing a lot of this with us. And our material desires and our bodily concepts of life and our basically what Prabhupada would call in his stentorian fashion, rascaldom. This is the source of the problem. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yadindriya pritaya aparinoti. So we have a desertification going on, lack of proper agriculture. Now it's a big thing all over the world. Governments are also implicit or are complicit in genetically modified foodstuffs that you can't really, and they've been released into the wild, so they've lost control of the process. They're probably going to smother out all the natural, naturally reproducing seeds. This has all been done through greed. And people just, they cannot really recognize that this greed is a problem that can be controlled. Because within experience and within documented history, there's not much evidence that we can conquer over this lower nature that we have. But if people cultivate Atma-gyan, Atma-tattva, spiritual wisdom, and if people understand the importance of Bhagavata metaphysics, as we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and its relevance in their day-to-day lives, and then they can elevate themselves through the power chiefly of divine grace in the form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these are just a few things. There's too much more to be said, but we'll stop there because it's getting late. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Nope. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.